This podcast is for people who are ready to heal body, mind, and spirit and are willing to take full responsibility for what that involves. I am not a doctor. I am not a therapist. This podcast contains adult language and themes that are not suitable for young children or those who are easily offended or triggered. The views discussed in this podcast are my own, based on personal experience and of those I have known and worked with for my entire adult life. This show is not meant to take the place of sound medical or mental health advice. You, and only you, are responsible for the choices you make based on the information you hear on this show. Welcome to the Alchemy of Natural Healing. I'm your host, Laurel Dewey. True healing is an alchemical process, meaning it must transform you on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. What affects one affects all three. True healing is one of the hardest journeys you'll ever travel, but it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling when you get to meet yourself for the first time. If you're ready to take that journey, let's get started. Welcome to episode 10. Today's topic is You Don't Know What You Don't Know, Part 1. This episode started off as one show, then it quickly became apparent that I had taken on a subject that was much more involved than I anticipated and would need to be split into two shows. About 5 years ago, I started making a list of things I wasn't prepared for in my own transformational healing journey, things I didn't know when I began my journey and wished I had known, so I would have been better prepared and not thought I was going mad or I was the only one experiencing these things. When I started the list, I wasn't planning on doing a podcast. I made the list simply because I was inspired to do so. I've since added a lot to that list, and that is the basis for today's episode and part two that will follow next week. Before I get into the list, I want to briefly touch on two types of people who are drawn to personal transformation work, because this list is only meant for one of those two types. Only one of those types is open to hearing what's on that list and genuinely willing to explore each topic I'll discuss. The first group of two include people who have reached a point in their lives, usually starting somewhere in their 40s, where they wake up and realize they are dangerously unhappy, and that they essentially feel like they have no choice but to explore options, pathways, and directions that will bring them to a place of what they interpret at that time as being happy. And I say interpret because I want to be happy is the standard launching pad that is needed to pull you out of the malaise and make changes. But spoiler alert, what you don't know at first is that being happy is not what you think it is, nor is it what you are actually looking for. You will absolutely learn what you truly need and what fulfills you as you dive deeper into transformational healing work. But when you make that first move toward it, you don't know what you're after and you don't know how to get it. You just know you can't continue living the same way you've been living, and you are finally willing to put yourself first and do the work as it's called, if there's any chance at all of you having a life worth living. Usually women are the ones who come to this point of awareness because they are the ones who have traditionally been required or conditioned by their parents, their family, and their friends to take on numerous responsibilities throughout their lives that they have willingly agreed to take on, but then around early 40s, but often bearing down around age 52, really hard around age 52, they become aware that they have, in fact, disappeared from their own lives and are enmeshed in a world that isn't providing for them the same pleasure or accomplishment that they believed it had been giving them. And then they begin to wonder if what it had been giving them was what they still wanted or needed. This very complex, confusing, gray-toned awakening can be slow and sluggish, you know, along. It can slug along for 5 years or longer before the real wake-up shock gets your undivided attention. During that gestation period, they feel as if they have to work very hard to reanimate themselves every day in their life that feels more and more pointless and exceptionally unhealthy. And so the day comes when they announce to themselves or their partners or their friends, I can't do this life anymore. I have to go find myself. And the primal energy behind that realization becomes so completely engulfing that they cannot shake it. It becomes their primary obsession. While the personal transformation movement heavily leans toward women, I've known plenty of men who are drawn to this healing work, and often for the same reasons. They've been doing what they were told to do by their parents, their educators, their bosses, their buddies, and so on. And they never questioned any of it. They just woke up every day and did what was required of them and rinse and repeat for decades. But then midlife crisis hits around age 42 to age 46 for guys. And that's when they buy the Porsche, as they say, or turn to transformational healing work. And if they drive their transformational work in the right direction, it will cost them a lot more than the Porsche. It'll cost them everything they ever thought they were or would be. Then there is the second group of people who are attracted to this work, and that group of people are usually bored by their life. They have no internal compass whatsoever and are easily taken in, but what they see is trendy or unique or fun or something they can brag about on social media that will make them feel seen and might quench their boredom temporarily. These people are not truly looking to do any of the work because, well, first off, the word work instantly turns them off, and work is not fun or generates the attention they crave. But that doesn't stop them from signing up for a 5-day transformational workshop, usually held near the ocean at a nice resort. These types of people are highly offended by what is expected of them at these workshops, which usually involves unpacking their preconceived beliefs, patterns, and unhealthy mindsets because they are actually there to get away from their husbands and kids and take filtered selfies against golden sunsets while holding an adult beverage. Because, you know, nothing says I'm here to heal like photographing the quintessential martini with the perfect dazzling light. These two types of people, the one who consciously enters into this work because she or he feels they have no choice, and the personal transformation tourist who dabbles in it because they are bored, both share the same erroneous perception, and that is that they do not know what they do not know. The first group of people are genuinely involving themselves with the intention of changing their life for the better, but they have no damn clue what that entails and what it will require of them. They've heard it's hard work, but they don't know what that means. They've heard about shadow work and heart-centered healing, but they don't understand what they are going to have to be willing to do or give up in order to move through that part of the process. They have no template to follow that gives them an understanding of what they have consciously agreed to take part in. The second group is just going to be forever mired in their own lack of maturity and deeply married to their own slumber, and will be so completely put off by what they see as another boring event that isn't serving their need for yet another distraction. That group will filter in and out of these workshops, while the group that is in this for the deep, meaningful, lasting transformation will keep moving forward as best they can and blindly attempt to traverse the incredibly complicated pathway that they are committed to. This episode is for that group, because the other group is too busy flirting with the bartender and checking their phone. Now, I want to be clear that this list, and the one I'll continue next week, is not meant to scare you or dissuade you from your path forward. Not at all. I created this list and this show to be a navigational beacon, so to speak, for you that honestly and transparently tells you what is expected of you if you are going to succeed in doing alchemical transformation work, which is body, mind, and spirit. To jump into this work without understanding what is expected of you is like throwing you into an ocean with no life jacket and no way of knowing where to swim to. It doesn't mean because you learn about what to expect that it'll make swimming through transformational healing work any easier. It just means you'll have more information to know what is required of you, and that by accepting that agreement and working through it, you'll gain the wisdom and perspective that you are looking for. So let's start with the list. Number one, you don't know what you don't know. You have no clue when you begin this journey how much you don't know. You think you are so smart because you're educated, or you've made a lot of money, or you've helped a lot of people, and you know everything. Well, if you know everything, why are you so screwed up? I grew up from birth in a family that practiced holistic and energy medicine, and I knew a lot about a lot, and I still got crucified in my own healing journey. Wrap your head around this. You don't understand this yet, but you don't have a drop of comprehension regarding how much you are unaware of what you think you are aware of. The more you believe you are informed, awake, and aware, or whatever adorable term you use when you start this journey, the more resistance you are going to have to the process. Resistance is not your friend. I've said this many times. Resistance is one of the major blocks you will continually encounter and have to dissolve within you in order to begin the transformation process. I don't care how clever or smart you think you are, you don't know shit. Oh, but I have a master's in psychology. Oh, wow, a master's. Well, you're really going to be screwed because it won't help you with this work. The smarter and more clever you think you are when you get into this deep work, the longer it's going to take for you to reach your surrender point, where you basically acknowledge that you are absolutely lost. You're begging for help and screaming from the rooftops to anyone to lead you out of it because you realize you don't know anything. Congratulations when you reach that point. That's your first step. The second one, you don't know what the word surrender truly feels like until you have no choice but to do it. Surrender is mandatory, and the sooner you get to it, the better off you'll be. The more you resist surrendering to whatever you have to let go of, and trust me, you have to surrender to things you have no clue about right now, the harder you are making this process and the longer it will take for you to actually dig into your journey. I wasted 18 very long and very arduous months resisting surrender. And if I could go back and talk to that self who was fighting it so hard, I would grab her by the shoulders and tell her to surrender now. Just do it. I would tell her to jump into the water and trust that whatever power she believed in that was greater than her would not let her drown. It took 18 shitty months of hell for me to finally get that message loud and clear, and finally surrender and get the wagon on the trail. Learning how to surrender is critical. If you are going to do this work, you can't do it without surrendering. It's impossible. So if you're really serious about doing this work, surrender for God's sakes. Is it hard? Yes. Still do it. And again, and again, and again, you will eventually get the hang of it. And you will trust it more each time you do it. Every single time without fail that I surrendered and jumped into that dark and often muddy water where I couldn't see anything except my own fear, I was led to the perfect solution, person, guidance, and more that helped me solve whatever dilemma I was dealing with at that time. You will, in fact, learn to swim in that water, and you will become accustomed to the process of surrendering so many times in your journey that it will become second nature to you. I look back on the things I had to surrender to that were, at that time, overwhelming to deal with, let alone accomplish, but I did it. And now those things I thought were insurmountable to surrender to, I now surrender to every day without even thinking about it. See, that's one of the greatest gifts you'll receive when you do this work with integrity. You come out the other side of it after a number of years and walk with new perception in the same old reality. And that gift is always about freedom from something that has held you down or kept you in check on some level for your entire life. When you surrender to whatever you have allowed that has created that destructive pattern in you and that is keeping you a prisoner of your own making, it kind of becomes weirdly addictive. Once you get the hang of surrender and you feel around inside it and realize it's not terrifying at all, it's release, it's feeling lighter, it's, why didn't I do this sooner? And while it might still hurt in some way when you do it after you've healed, you don't feel pain in the sense of what you've been used to feeling when you surrendered before. You recognize the hurt as just something that quantifies how much that energy is stuck, and you become more focused on ways to help release it without personalizing the pain like you used to. And that leads us right into number three on the list of what you don't know. And that is, you don't know that that pain, like surrender, is part of the package deal you signed up for. There will be pain of all types, and you will not be able to avoid or bypass that pain and genuinely experience an alchemical healing of body, mind, and spirit. Just like you can't bypass the surrendering part, you can't pretend there is no pain involved in this process, nor can you dress your pain up in another outfit and call it humor anymore. You can't run from it. You can't pretend it away. You can't numb it with booze, drugs, pills, or poorly intentioned psychedelic trips. Note that I said poorly intentioned. I have nothing against psychedelics. I have a lot against poorly intentioned, poorly thought out, poorly executed psychedelic trips that fuck you up worse than when you started and do nothing but drive that pain that you are seeking to heal even deeper. I read somewhere once words to the effect, you've already experienced the pain. You just haven't felt it. That really stuck with me enough that I wrote it down and taped it to the wall with dozens of other quotes I looked at daily to inspire me and keep me involved in the process. That is so true. You've already had the tragedy and the trauma. You just haven't felt the pain attached to that tragedy and trauma. And until you first acknowledge it exists and then work to unpack it slowly, no transformation will take place. What you also may not know is that your mental and emotional pain is locked in your body. That means you are going to have to do a lot of movement, whether it's body work or sweating in a sauna or detox or just shaking on purpose to move energy that has been trapped forever inside every muscle, every bit of fascia, your digestive tract, your organs, especially your small and large intestine, kidneys, and adrenals. Pain creates stagnation in all forms, so move that energy in however you can. Pain is built into the wheels that move your wagon forward throughout the process of transformation. Pain is part of the process, all types of pain, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And of those four, physical is the least painful. You just don't know that yet. Do you have horrible chronic back pain? Wait until you do this work and find out your mental and emotional source for that chronic pain that you've buried and been carrying nearly your whole life. That moment of awakening will bring you to your knees. No matter how much it kills your back, it'll bring you to your knees. It's that much of a visceral shock to the senses. When you understand the clear connections regarding the emotional unrest you grew up with and maintained in your life, and how that emotional unrest penetrated not only your life story, but how it penetrated your body, and how your body was forced to absorb that distorted energy like a sponge. When you are able to heal the mental and emotional response that is so deep inside you that laid the groundwork, the soil, and the seeds for what became your chronic back pain, suddenly your pain will change in some discernible way that gets your attention in a good way. But no matter what, there will always be pain, and during your process, you will form new agreements with how you view and experience pain. pain will not be the thing you run from. It will be part of the tempering solution that forms you into the person you were always meant to be, but never got a chance to experience, maybe because of the pain. There is no way to the other side of this transformation except through the pain. Pain will simply become part of the experience. And you will accept and agree to that principle. I accept it. It's going to hurt. Okay, let's do it. You can't bypass it and say you are healed or transformed and pretend to have some secret inside knowledge when in fact you are still incomplete and pushing down the demons that you keep trying to tell yourself don't exist. Please don't do that, because you look foolish when you do it, especially when you're wearing your pain so prominently in your energy field, especially when anyone with eyes to see can tell how broken you are from across the room. What I learned was that when I accepted that pain was part of this trip and that pain is found within the release of whatever is holding you back, when I learned that and when I just, everything changed for me. And when you really see that and feel that, you seek to release more readily, and when it hurts, you lean in even harder, because the pain is what always stopped you from penetrating deeper into the root of the root of the root of your discontent. When you lean into it, it doesn't own you as much anymore. And so you do it again and again, and before you know it, you have come through it. You don't fight it or resist it. You come through it. And the experience you have of doing that transforms the pain as it transforms you. And through that transformation, the pain is then experienced differently. You still have the same event, the same memory, the same visuals. But when you heal that, the pain that has always been attached to it is transmuted into acceptance and an agreement to move on from it. Because if you are really seeking to transform on all levels, you have to transmute your pain into acceptance, or you'll never be able to move forward with this life-changing work. Number four, you don't know yet that the idea of control is a total and utter illusion. The sooner you accept that and recognize it in real time in your life, the less resistance you're going to have to alchemical transformation. You will have absolutely no control over anything that happens. And the more you attempt to control or manipulate the process, it will backfire on you. This is connected somewhat to what I mentioned in the first one, where you have the hubris of believing that you are smarter than the process, and that because you are smarter, you can control the process. Every time you attempt this, you will experience a spectacular failure. So I'd accept this one as fast as I could. Number five, you don't know the dedication this work requires and how long it will take to mature into it. It can easily take years, two or three very tough years to unwind and unravel. And then 4, 5, or more years after that for everything to filter through you, for you to have one often relentless experience after another that transforms you a little or a lot. You have to slowly but consistently integrate each transformation within you until you operate from that new point of view with an effortless manner and without even realizing you're acting different than before. This will not happen quickly. I love the schedules and agenda people like to put on their journey when they make a conscious decision to start the process. I did it. If you think you're going to slay this dragon in 6 months, think again. I'm a big observer of cycles and how a specific span of years seems to hold or contain the genesis, the height, and then the resolution of a transformative journey when you truly begin to embody the changes that occur. And I've noticed that 7-year cycles are interesting, and they seem to be a period it can take to really have the full experience and also be able to successfully integrate everything. It doesn't mean you're done at 7 years. This is forever. It means you have reached a point where the hard level of initiation into deep transformation has been successfully realized, and you now embark on whatever that experience has required of you. Number six, you don't know that there is no set protocol for what your journey should look like. People doing this work will absolutely share similarities in their story, but how you personally get from A to G is based solely on your ability to surrender, your willingness to listen to people who have been through this process and come out the other side, and the courage to always do the thing that terrifies you. I created this podcast with the intention of shedding a more illuminating light on the process and providing navigational beacons to give you some type of direction, but your experience and story will be unique to you. The path you choose will be painted by your own brush and framed by your own level of awareness and understanding at this point in your lifetime. There is no one way or one thing that will lead you where you need to go. And it's not the thing or event or person that changes you. It's the energy it produces within you to change. Two people can have an interaction with the same person and have a totally different experience. For some, that one person could say something that changes their lives forever. For someone else, that one person has no discernible effect on them. People will come to appreciate gratitude through different methods. For one, it's this, and for one, it's that. But the distilled energy that is intended by that experience creates gratitude in the end. So it's not the thing. So don't believe that everyone has to take psychedelics in order to have a deep understanding that life is a construct of your own mind. You can gain that same awareness by being sick and having a high fever where you leave yourself and hover between the worlds for a bit. I've done that, actually. Yeah, I have. Number seven, you don't know, but you really do need to know that you cannot have a transformative spiritual experience while simultaneously being easily offended. If you suffer from being offended at anything, you're going to have to overcome that hurdle immediately. Part of this process is learning how to laugh at yourself and see the humor in how you react to life and other people, and certainly how you've gotten in your own way, of being capable of stepping outside of your offended nature and seeing the complete and utter insanity of your behavior and laugh at it, like really laugh at it. And when you do that, you have a bit of a breakthrough, as small as it may be, but it's a breakthrough nonetheless. A good therapist who knows his or her stuff can help you see through your own bullshit. But if you can't find a good therapist who demands more of you than you do of yourself, then the onus is on you. You must figure out how to stop misinterpreting constructive advice that is meant to help you as an insult to your character. Opening your eyes to your own emotional liabilities and recognizing you must shift that behavior if you want to heal is the beginning of self-awareness. Number eight, you don't know, but you must know that one method or one therapist or one protocol will never produce the varied results your soul is truly after. You can't heal from hearing the same message all the time. Look at your healing process like a huge banquet, where you have many dishes to choose from, and some will appeal to you and others will disagree with you. But you have to taste from many dishes because each dish has something you need to psychologically or emotionally ingest. And it might just be one bite is all you need, but you still need that bite. You will need to expose yourself to many methods and protocols, therapists, and maybe even a shaman or two if you can find the right ones, in order to realize which methods and healing protocols work for you and which ones take away your power or are completely ineffective. But even the lesson of having a bad therapist or a bad protocol is still a great lesson. I won't do that again, you'll tell yourself. And if you get ripped off, and you will get ripped off at some point, be accountable for that too, and understand that you allowed it to happen in some way, and make sure your eyes are wide open the next time. But even then, don't discount or regret that experience, because after all, this process is all about having unique, out-of-the-box experiences that push you out of your comfort zone and force you to be a lot more open-minded to concepts and realities that you may have avoided in your life. Number 9, you don't know that you are going to meet parts of yourself that you never knew existed or could exist. And when these parts are given a chance to be revealed and then allowed to bloom, you have no understanding of how that's going to feel inside you and how that's going to upend your predictable life. This is not necessarily a bad or underground discovery, by the way. I don't know why everybody goes there when meeting new parts of yourself is brought up. It's not everybody finds out they're a crossdresser. It's more like the 300-pound linebacker really enjoys knitting while he's watching the game replay. Or the quiet little church mouse who plays the organ every Sunday learns she loves playing the drums in a local jazz band on Saturday night. Inhabiting these parts of your newfound self can be exhilarating. The fun part starts if you choose to expose it to friends and family who may not be comfortable with it. That's when you decide how you want to handle it, okay? Be prepared for that experience. Number 10. You have no idea that the goal you think you're after when you start this process is not the actual goal you are meant to achieve by the end of the process. The ultimate goal always has to do something with reclaiming or containing your innate power. But if you start off saying, I just want to be happy, or I just want peace, you might want to be prepared for what happiness and peacefulness requires from you. See, when you ask for those things, you're doing it with the idea that something outside of yourself is going to show up and provide that for you. You know, give me X and I'll be happy. Give me Y and I'll finally have peace. But neither X or Y will be able to give you anything. You will have to restructure your entire mindset. And all the belief systems you have relied upon will have to be destroyed and rebuilt from a new perspective. Number 11, you do not know or understand right now what enlightenment or awakening actually means. If you think you know what enlightenment and awakening means, write it down. And send it to yourself in an email and put it in the subject head. This is what I think enlightenment and awareness means, and flag it so you can find it in 3 years. Or print it out and put it in an envelope and then read it in a few years. You'll probably laugh your ass off when you read it, because by that time, if you're really doing the work and moving forward, you'll have an entirely different definition of what enlightenment and awareness are. Right now, you may think of awakening in romanticized terms. That's because it's been presented to you by people who claim to be awake but are still asleep and just don't know it. There is absolutely nothing romantic about enlightenment, awareness, or the transformative process. When someone asks you to describe your healing process in the future, you will never reply with, it was so romantic. Number 12, you don't know that awakening and transformational healing of the self has nothing to do with light and love. People who bleed on about light and love, who sign off their emails with light and love, and who wish you light and love all the time, are not engaged in transformative work. They're actually engaging in transformational performance art of the lowest level, especially when they bow to you and say namaste before they drive away in their Prius or Subaru. I don't care if they scream light and love from the hilltops. Nobody who is truly doing transformative work uses the term light and love ever. True enlightenment is rough, exhausting, and in the beginning, it can leave you walking around with a hollowed feeling inside. I guarantee you that you will not be wishing people light and love in that state of being. In fact, if you're doing transformative work right, and someone wishes you light and love, you'll probably tell them to F off. The light and love statement carries no water, and ironically, people who constantly repeat light and love tend to possess the least amount of true light and true love. They've spent so many years using that tired phrase that they have no clue how vacuous and empty it sounds. Oddly enough, they also have little to no real compassion when it's called for in any given situation. If you find yourself in the middle of the most cathartic, emotional experience you've ever experienced, and someone tells you they are sending you light and love, you will understand precisely at that moment how useless they are to you. Nobody who has ever gone through true transformative work would ever wish you light and love. They will most likely allow you to unload while making sure you don't injure yourself or anyone else. 13. You don't know that entering into transformational healing work means you are going to be tested repeatedly. Once you agree to change something within yourself, you will encounter one experience after another in different forms, but all with the same goal. And that goal is to transmute and dissolve whatever fear, terror, whatever you have regarding it. So let's say one of your goals is to be braver. You will be given one opportunity after another that requires bravery from you. If you choose to not take the opportunity, if you choose to not be brave, another opportunity will quickly show up, and another one, and so on. And this will continue until you demonstrate bravery. And at first, it will look and feel awkward, but you'll do it again and again and again. And finally, you will train yourself to be brave. I came to clearly recognize when the cosmic testing would arrive at my door. Sometimes I remember asking to overcome something, and within 5 minutes, the perfect opportunity would suddenly show up to test my intentional mettle. I've seen this exact thing happen with other people who walk this path, and they often make the mistake of seeing the test as yet another challenge or another obstacle. But what is that quote? The obstacle is the path. The obstacle fortifies your psyche over time when you are able to see it for what it is and be able to meet it and conquer it without seeing it as the enemy. When you begin to welcome the test so you can prove yourself to yourself and yourself alone, that is when you really begin to grow. Number 14, you don't know the truth about the ego. People who tell you that enlightenment is the death of the ego are only partly right. You're never going to lose all of your ego. The end game is about perceiving your world and the world outside yourself without duality, delusion, or an overly ego-centered mindset. It's being able to easily take yourself out of yourself when required and putting yourself in someone else's shoes and understand what they are experiencing through their unique perspective, regardless of how your ego is programmed to react in that situation. You are never going to dissolve your ego completely, because from my own experience, you are in a physical body having a physical experience, and the ego is part of that experience. And when the ego is healthy and balanced, it is there to set boundaries that need to be enforced. So it doesn't control your every thought, move, or how you interact with others. The ego won't inform every decision you make or rule your perspective. And if you meet a healer or teacher or, God help you, a guru who declares that their ego has died and keeps repeatedly telling you that my ego is dead, my ego is dead, understand that their ego is very much alive and thriving on blast. And that takes us to number 15, the last on the list for today. Number 15 is you definitely don't know yet that this often mysterious world known as the personal transformation movement is a business. And at its worst, it's sometimes a cult. Just like a business, the people entrenched in it are there to make money and bring in customers. And just like a cult, they need to make you believe you need them in order to truly, really, honestly transform into your best self. And for the low price of a gazillion dollars that you will be told to spend, and by maxing out your credit card, you too can drown in any number of costly distractions that do nothing to heal you and unfortunately contribute to you stagnating. There are some good books, but after a while, they all blend together. Like a cult, when you tell the members you've decided to leave a group or an organization you thought was going to help you, but hasn't done anything but string you along, that act will be strongly discouraged, and you could be gaslighted into believing you're not ready to leave the group, and that if you do, you'll never understand the true meaning of personal empowerment. But then, when you follow through and do leave, you realize that act of defiance was the dictionary definition of personal empowerment. Because the last thing a cult needs is independently minded members who have critical thinking skills and have only one objective, and that is to heal whatever is fragmented within you and bring it back into balance so that you can finally live out the rest of your life unencumbered by the shackles that have held you down forever. That's all for this week. Thank you for choosing to listen to this show. If you like what you hear, share this podcast with others and follow me. Check out the notes for this episode, where you'll see the links to find me on Instagram and X at Laurel Dewey or The Alchemy of Natural Healing. Looking forward to you joining me here next week when I delve into part two of You Don't Know What You Don't Know. New episodes drop every Saturday. Until then, remember that awareness is a demanding mistress. Once she wakes you up, she won't let you go back to sleep.